This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This is the Weekly Scramble. A place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
Hey, I got an email. Hi, it is the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
I am doing good. A little bit of a hectic time here in the Garage Logic Podcast Studios, but that, because we took last week off, but we need to provide the dire listener with the content that they need with the Weekly Scramble.
You know, I'm going to start this. You know that recently my family sold our company, right?
And I heard that.
Yes, you did. And I have this new boss. And yesterday, one of the sweetest things ever happened. So I'm at a speech that my boss is giving. It's a pretty serious speech, right? Mm-hmm. And he's giving it to a handful of people. And at 10 minutes to 3, my phone alarm goes off. And I was like, 10, you know, what, 250, you know, what's going on? And I quickly pull my phone, because my phone's on silent. Yeah. I quickly pull it off, and I shut off the alarm, right?
Yeah.
Then at 3 o'clock, 10 minutes more into a speech, my phone alarm goes off.
No.
And I said, man, I am so sorry. I mean, now I'm feeling like, what is going on? He's even looking at me like, what are you doing, dude? 3:10, my phone alarm goes off. I'm like, what is going on? I've never set those alarms.
At this point, you should probably shut the phone off.
Right? I've never set the alarms like that, so I have no idea what's going on. So I get up. He's done with his speech. Everyone leaves. I said, hey, I just want to apologize. And he said, I thought it was something. You were trying to give me a hint to wrap it up. And I was like, no way. You're my boss. Well, I'm not going to give you a hint to wrap it up.
Oscar, pull him off the stage.
Get home, right? What does my wife say? I said, hey, how you doing, honey? She goes, did you get something good today? And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? She goes, you know, do anything alarming happen? I said, what? And she had set 3 alarms at 2:50, 3, and 3:10 to tell me that she loved me 3 times. And I was like, oh my God, I was going to get fired. It was super sweet. And 99% of the time, I'm not in a meeting.
Right. It wouldn't have mattered.
It would have been
right.
Sweet. I could have looked at the alarm that said, oh, I love you. And I said, wait, what? You know what I mean? Like, you know how you can set an alarm and you put some titles to it. Mm-hmm. So she had done that as this sweet thing. Little did she know that I was interrupting my boss 3 times in 30 minutes.
You know what you should have done?
What's that?
Well, what was your response to
her? My response was, thank you. Aww. I didn't want to say to her,
sure.
Hey, like, you almost got me fired. Congratulations.
See, that's what I would have done. I would have said, well, you know what happened, right? I would have said, because of those 3 alarms going off when the new boss was giving his speech, I was asked to kindly leave.
Yeah.
Forever.
Forever.
No, I'm kidding. I would never
No,
would never
no,
do
but
that
was just one of those fun things. So it's one. I got to feel the fear of, oh my God, I'm really disappointing my boss, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't had that fear in a long time because I've been disappointing my father for years and he was my boss forever, right?
Right.
And then secondly,
but now you've got standards.
Yeah, now I have to have a whole nother level. And then secondly, I got to be validated that my love is real with my wife because she cared enough to set 3 alarms
on sweet.
My phone for me. What a sweetheart.
That is very, very
that's,
sweet.
So that's the, in, since I've been on last, that is the best thing that's happened to me since then.
Well, it's funny you mentioned since the last time we've been on. Mm-hmm. So I think some people are keen to what's going on in my personal life. We are in the process of moving.
Fun.
And the last time my wife and I moved, we had a then 2-year-old and an unborn one ready to pop. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One in the oven, they call
it. It was basically, I did the vast majority of moving. And it was fine because for the most part, it was just stuff for the baby or the 2-year-old and then just our stuff. A little different now.
It's some toys.
Because the kids are older. We've been selling a lot of stuff. Well, so it's been kind of hectic. We've had to, you got to stay out of the house for showings and you got to stay out of the house for inspections. And there's a 6:00. So it's been a lot of that. You know what that process is like. And so I get a call on Monday of last week. And it's a good friend of mine. And he says, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm thinking, well, at this point.
I'm working.
Well, we had gone through the process of reaching a purchase agreement with our current home and whatever. So we were kind of in that waiting period where, okay, well, we still need to be out of the house on the weekend, which is not fun when it's a weekend when you have 2 kids under the age of 10.
And it's going to be 2 degrees or whatever.
So then I said, well, depends. And he said, I have a ticket for you. And I said, okay. And so Friday afternoon, we did the show. We did Garage Logic. Mm-hmm. And we had had that weather. You know, southern Minnesota or southwestern Minnesota got pummeled with a foot of snow. And I even out my way in Carver, we got about a half a foot.
Okay.
So I hit the road. And I was going to go to the Buffalo Bills game Saturday night.
Yes.
So I left here and got all the way to, I probably left here around between 3 and 3:30. Got all the way to the Michigan and Indiana border.
Okay.
New something, Michigan, right on the border, right on the lake.
Sure.
Spent the night, got back up, got all the way to Buffalo the next morning. Well, morning then early afternoon.
All right.
And as I'm driving there, it's my good friend Ryan, who I've gone to a million Bills games with. He's great. And he calls me maybe at about 11 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And he says, where are you? I said, well, I'm driving. Game's at 8 o'clock tonight, right? Yeah, but we're going to start tailgating at noon.
Well, yeah, but you said, like, you don't need me there at noon.
Well,
but
I said, well, I don't. I'm according to my map, you know, I'm looking at my phone. Yeah. I said, well, my phone says I should be there around, like, 3. But, you know, I got to probably stop at least once to get there. Oh, man, well, you're going to be late. And I'm thinking, yeah,
how many hours early do I need to be?
Mike, I got to town at, and it's right off, you know, it's in Orchard Park. It's not actually in Buffalo. It's in the southwest suburbs. So picture like Eden Prairie.
Okay.
In,
so you don't necessarily need to go through town.
Correct. And it's right off the interstate. Mm-hmm. So I pull off. I start making my way at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I could not believe what I saw.
Really?
Every parking lot. So picture the stadium. Did you watch any of the game?
I did. Yeah.
So picture the stadium, and around it is I think it's the Erie Community College.
All right.
And so they have huge parking lots where a lot of people congregate. And it was a sea of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not warm.
No.
It was very cold.
Yeah.
When I pulled up, it was still light out, and my dash read zero.
Oh, good. And you had, if I'm not mistaken, you had a baseball cap on.
Correct, when I got there. Yes,
okay.
When I got there.
Because that is probably not appropriate
weather. But that, keep in mind, I just walked out of the vehicle, so I was in that warm vehicle for...
Okay, but you didn't have a... Did you have a
7 hours. Oh, I had the whole... snowmobile coat.
Okay, got it, because I was like, that seems like you're going to freeze.
I was prepared. Right. So we get out, and I think, okay, well, everyone's... And the lot I was supposed to drive to was completely full.
Okay.
To the point where the cones were in front.
Sure.
So I called my buddy. I said, hey, dude, the lot's full. He's like, no, I got a spot for you. Just pull up, and I'll move the cones, pulled up, no problem. Then the bonfire was 6 feet from my vehicle.
Oh, that's kind of nice. Keep your car nice and warm.
But I thought, so it was kind of nice because I knew a few of the guys that were there. And so they set it up, and I pull up, and they set up the fire. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts putting their 12 packs next to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, we got to keep the beers warm.
They're frozen.
Because they were literally freezing and exploding because it was that cold out. And so we went to the game. It was fun. Bills kicked the hell out of New England. And in the third quarter, I said, hey, this has been fun. And I just did the Irish goodbye.
Sure.
And Ryan and I have that kind of relationship
He knows
you're fine. He absolutely knows that I'm going to do that.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, all right, I got to get up. Oh, I left out the best part. Former Channel 5 meteorologist Patrick Hammer.
I love the Hammer. One of my favorite guys.
Now lives in Buffalo.
Yep.
And he does, he's the chief meteorologist for, I believe it's the NBC affiliate in town. And so Rookie apparently had mentioned something to him that I was coming to the game because I did not know this, but that little storm that I drove through in western Wisconsin was coming
was
that
following
way.
You. Okay. And Buffalo can get 2 feet of snow in an hour.
So Hammer calls me on my cell phone. I go, hey, Patrick Hammer. Yeah, he's like, hey, I hear you're coming to town for the game. And I said, yeah. He goes, what time are you leaving? I went, what do you mean? He said, well, you're leaving Sunday, I hope, right? I said, well, yeah, I was going to come in town for the game. I'm going to swing in, go to the game, probably stay overnight, and then I'm going to head out in the morning.
Yep.
He said, yeah, you better get a move on. I said, oh, God, what? He said, you know that storm you drove through when you got here? I said, yeah. He said, well, it's going to go down to, like, swing down to Tennessee. You know, Denny Green, Calcutta Clippers, swings down, swings up. He said, it's going to go down to Tennessee, gain a ton of moisture because of the humidity, and it's going to come straight up. And I said, well, how far... do I have to worry about it heading west?
Yeah, like what town am I going to hit the edge of it?
He said, if you can get through the state of Ohio by lunchtime, you should be okay.
Okay.
And I'm thinking,
it's isn't that kind of nice to have a personal meteorologist?
Oh, yeah, I got the personalized forecast. It was fantastic. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, okay, I'll put it to you this way. Here's how weather works in Buffalo. So I got kind of a little history on this. Mm-hmm. He said, we'll get the initial blast of snow, but then we get the lake effect snow after that.
Yeah.
Because once it hits the water, then the wind blows it right back in. They got 16 inches of snow where I was parked less than 24 hours before
when
that.
Patrick,
so I got super lucky.
I had gone out with Patrick a lot because we both lived in St. Paul. He's super fun.
Yeah,
like,
he's
actually,
awesome.
We became really, really good friends, right? And Patrick, like, knew how to celebrate. He was a celebrator. So much so that we would often just lose his car. It's like, well, your car should be at one of the places where we left. But he is so much fun. But when he left Minneapolis to go to Buffalo, I was like, isn't this market better?
He loves it
there. He loves it because as a meteorologist, he's like, I get to deal with, people have to pay attention to me because you could leave home in the morning and then have 18 inches of snow on the way home. So he's like, weather in Buffalo is way bigger deal. But I wanted to digress back to your original story of a guy calling you, Ryan, saying, hey, I have a ticket for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of $142,000. And you might say, what is $142,000?
Can I write it down?
Yes, $142,000. I think that is the number that if Ryan said to me, Mike, hop in a car, drive to Buffalo, stand out in a parking lot with a bunch of drunk idiots, go to a Buffalo Bills game, figure out where you're going to sleep that night and drive home, I would need $142,000
to do
that.
That's exactly what I've done. The amount of money that Mike F. would need to do what Reavers does.
Not a chance in my life I'd say, I'd actually be kind of pissed that he offered the ticket to me. I'd be like, how dare you think I would do that?
Well, you know me. I'm a road tripper. I loved a road trip.
I think even Kenny, you talked about this on Garage Logic, and Kenny
on
said,
Monday,
you are the ultimate road tripper.
I do like to road trip, but I like to road trip
alone. Yeah.
Back in the day, before I had kids, my wife was a perfect companion because she knew when to keep, she just knew that, okay, now it's just time to be quiet.
Does she do that thing where you hop into the car and she rolls up into a little ball in the passenger seat and falls asleep?
No, because she can't do, unless it's, in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Then she will. But otherwise, no, she can't do that.
I hop into the car and we're going to the cabin or something. And I said, okay, like kids and wife, like, what are we going to talk about? Everyone has their own headphones on.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at their thing. And I said, okay. And then I'll turn on the radio and they'll be like, could you turn that down a little bit? I'm like, I get one thing. I get to drive in the radio. That's what I get to pick. But yeah, $142,000. I was thinking about Souchere and I thought, how much would it be to get Souchere to drive to Buffalo, New York, to stand in a frozen parking lot?
Oh, yeah.
It looked, and if I'm not mistaken, you thought, because Ryan's a big wig with Buffalo, you thought maybe you were going to be in an interior seat where you could warm up.
Sure did.
And that didn't happen that time.
No, we had great seats, by
the way.
Sure,
okay.
But yeah, it was. Although, hold on. Let me gather my thought here. So here's truly how it kind of came about.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that we were going to have to be out of the house for the weekend. My wife was planning on taking the boys up to go visit her mom. We had just done Christmas. I said, well, I don't want to.
Why do you need to be out of the house for the weekend?
Well, because of inspections, showings, all this stuff.
We did it
the previous weekend, which I said, why don't we just go somewhere?
Yeah, just instead of having to run the Target or something. Yeah.
And so then I thought, well, you know what? It's been a while since and I loved a road trip. And even Hammer was giving me crap because he said, why don't you fly here? Well, A, you can't get a direct flight to Buffalo. And this just in, the airports are now a bleep show.
Yeah, it might take you just as long to get there as driving.
And you don't even know if your flight's guaranteed these days. Yeah. Plus, honestly, it's not that long of a drive. Think of driving
to
Chicago. Think of driving to Chicago,
okay,
right?
5 hours.
Halfway. A little over halfway.
Oh, really?
Once you get through Chicago.
Okay, so it's a 10-hour drive?
11-ish. Okay. 11 to 12-ish, depends on how fast you're willing to push the envelope.
$142,000.
Right. But there's two really cool aspects of that drive. I've made it twice now? Twice or three times? I can't remember. But it's really cool because when you drive through Cleveland, you butt along the south portion of Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really neat. And so, and it was actually really nice. It was like 30, and all of a sudden you're looking at the dash, it's 28, 25, keep getting closer and closer to town. So I'm thinking, all right, the game was in hand. I'm going to get out of here. Yeah. So what I ended up doing, because no rooms were available in the vicinity of that stadium.
So you just started driving back.
So I started heading west, and I got all the way to, and trust me, I was fine.
Sure.
I had a couple before the game.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
But
You're never going to take a risk.
Once
with that.
I got to the stadium and went, nope, I'm good. Because then I thought, well, that's my chance to get healthy again.
Sure.
So then I got back in my vehicle and started heading west, and I got all the way to Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Which is about an hour, give or take, an hour away. Mm-hmm. Nothing but availability. Okay. So then I'm thinking, all right, well, now I'm 1 hour closer to getting home.
Yeah.
Caught up early. Because when I'm traveling like that, I can't sleep because I'm always afraid I'm going to oversleep. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool because I stayed at this hotel that had just a podunk local town bar across the street.
All right.
And it was fun.
Okay.
So I got there about maybe between 10:30 around 10:30. I thought I gotta go in here for one.
Okay.
That's the tales from the road, right?
Yeah.
So I go in and nobody's there, even though it's a Saturday night.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was talking with the bartender and the security guy, and they were cool. They could not have possibly been cooler. And they said, well, wait a minute, you're driving to Minneapolis in the morning? I said, yeah, I explained the story or whatever. And so did a shot with the bartender, walked back to my hotel room and crashed for the night. And so the next morning, got up about 7:30, went, well,
let's go.
Here we go. Got in the car. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got my coffee, got my water. I'm good to go. Got about an hour in and went, whew, 10 more hours. Here we go.
Oh, no.
But you go through, you go through Pennsylvania very briefly.
Well, Pennsylvania is pretty.
Yeah. And then you go through Ohio, mm-hmm. which is the longest part of the drive.
Okay.
That's going through because you take the Ohio Turnpike through there. And then it's Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then you're finally home.
Yeah.
And then when I got home, I was notified that while I was gone, my wife and my two beautiful boys decided to go get another cat while I was gone.
Oh, no.
And I
You're moving.
And I thought,
you're just going to move. Why get another cat?
I thought, okay. She completely planned this. Because when I told her about this, I said, is that okay? She said, you should go.
Oh, my God. You should totally go.
She said, go clear your mind. Go have fun. Because, we're kind of in a stressful part.
Yeah,
we were in that limbo stage of we didn't really have anything to do until the big move was coming in. And I thought, she set me up.
She did set you up for a stinking cat. So not only did you have to go all that way, but you had to get paid with a cat when you got home. Mm-hmm. Did you name this cat? Because
he's a
Princess
white,
Buttercup.
No, he's a white kitten that was abandoned.
Okay,
so he's a rescue.
Well, they're of course all abandoned.
Yeah,
right?
No, and this one was, and the only reason
and
I know
abused
that
by
is because
a male, probably.
He has a sister who was also abandoned by mom, and my mother adopted that one.
Okay, got
so it.
It
was a combo deal. Mm-hmm. And so we named him Wilson after the volleyball.
The volleyball. Okay, yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well done, Reavers. I'm very proud of you that you can do that. What would Soucheray do? Is Soucheray a driver? He did this Florida thing. I heard a little bit of that.
Yeah, he did that. But I've often said to him, Joe, you were made for a road trip like that. Remember when I made the dum-dum run from
Absolutely.
California?
Yeah.
That's as scenic as it gets. Driving through the mountains and in Utah and
Wyoming
and Colorado.
Yeah.
Granted, you have to be worried about what time of the year you're doing it based upon weather. But I said, Joe, this was made for you. Now, granted, not many people are going to road trip how I road trip, which is I'm getting in this car and I'm not stopping until my gas gauge says E.
Sure.
And that's when I'm stopping.
Yeah, and it's going to take me 8 hours between,
correct.
Long runs.
Yeah, so that's how I road trip. Like, we're going to go, we're going to get there. When my wife and kids are with me, then it's, every 2 hours we got to stop to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
don't
you love,
whatever.
Like, we drive up to the cabin, it's like three stops on the way to the cabin. It's like, it's a 2.5 hour ride. We don't need to stop three
we're
times.
We're good here, right.
Yeah,
we
could power all the way through, kids.
Yeah.
Well, I know on Garage Live, you guys were talking about doing like going to Schmelz, getting three Alfa Romeos or something and saying, hey, let's go. The only problem is now every one of those Alfa Romeos is worth gold because no one has any cars. So they can't just let you guys borrow three cars, right?
Right. There's no chance that was going to happen.
No, I wonder how that would work. I wonder if you could do a like on the road podcast with Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop.
I had said because of the way now that we're doing the show as opposed to being on the radio, we can do, we have a friend that used to work here that's basically what his show is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, he's not doing it every day, but he's made that his show where he's just on the road all
the
time,
road,
which is brilliant. Yep. It's absolutely brilliant.
That is cool. It was. I'm going to go back to Garage Logic because everybody, very often, people who listen to our weekly scramble are members of the Garage Logic fan club, right? We're all in that same thing. And I'm a fan of Garage Logic. But I was thinking that they were talking about Kenny, and Kenny said he hasn't been on a plane for 15 years.
I know.
He seems like he would go someplace. He really, his persona on the podcast is a little different than his persona in real life. I mean, and he tells us his real life stories, right? Mm-hmm. You get to know him. My wife loves him, right? I mean, loves him because he's on 107.1,
sure,
right?
Yep.
So she hears him on the female-oriented radio station that Hubbard has.
In the morning. Yep.
In the morning. And we saw him at the State Fair, right? And,
yep.
And I went and introduced him. You know the whole story. I went and introduced him. But I took a picture of those two, and he said to me, hand me the picture. And I said, why? And he goes, I want to make sure I look good. And I said, wait, what? Like, not a chance in my life would I say to somebody, hold on, let me see the camera to make
sure
I look good.
Right.
I'm gonna look the way I'm gonna look. It is what it is. It was, and he was serious. He didn't want to have a picture out there where he didn't look good. And I thought, Kenny, you're fine, dude. What? Why would you? I would have never thought he would have had that vanity or that thing about him at all.
To the point where when we took a group photo outside of the stadium last Saturday night, mm-hmm. there was maybe 15 of us. I can't remember how many there were. And to the point where we're all huddled up and yay, and to the point where they took a couple, but the one that everyone chose to post was me looking off to the side because someone had said, nice jacket, dork. And I went, thanks. And that's the picture that ended up getting posted, which is hilarious because I don't care. What do I care? But yeah, I always love the one person that's not looking at the camera,
not
and
looking.
That happened to be me.
they always say that if you don't think you're a narcissist, go ahead and start looking at pictures that you're in because the first thing you do is, let me see what I look like.
So I was going to go further in depth with football, and I completely forgot what I was about to say. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. So I get it. I grew up with the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I get it completely. I think I went to one game when they played at the Gophers Stadium.
Okay.
I've been to a million Gopher games.
Sure.
But I went to one Vikings game when they played at the Gopher Stadium, and it was maybe mid to late October, I think.
So it's still pretty nice, yeah.
I don't know how fans do it. I'm not kidding, because I get it. We're a hearty bunch,
yeah.
And we're here. We're from the frozen tundra. Bleep that.
Yeah, it's cold.
Mike, we're inside, and it's an outdated stadium, mm-hmm. but it still has a great game day atmosphere. When I walked in, because they were all super paranoid that the Patriots were going to end their season.
Sure.
And when we walked up to our seats, you could just tell the energy inside that stadium. I said, they are going to freaking roll New England.
Oh, really?
I could just tell right away.
I wonder if there's any scientific truth to that.
I always, and again, I'm a completely amateur sports analyzer, right?
But you do it all the time, yeah.
But I was looking at both sidelines, and you could see complete juice on one side and the other side looking like, we don't want to be here.
Really?
I could just tell right away.
Yeah.
And it's New England. They've been at on big
they've
stages.
Done it. Yep,
but
yeah.
I just could tell right away. I said, they're going to get rolled.
New England knew they didn't have the team to carry them the whole way.
I think so.
So why would it matter?
So we're standing there, and when you're, amidst, I think their capacity is 70,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was packed. Trust me. It was packed. And I thought, okay, I'm a little bit warmer because I'm, in with all
yeah,
these
I'm
people,
tucked in.
But I'm still cold.
Yeah.
And my face still hurt Tuesday morning.
Ugh.
So I don't think I got frostbite, but
just
I definitely got
windburn.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Well, I remember going to the
so
Packers
bless
stadium.
You fans that love doing that.
People do it. People do it.
Yeah, I know.
You go to the Packers Stadium, and the only place there's warmth is in the
bathrooms. Yeah.
And you just smell like warm urine, and you're like, oh, it's so warm in here. I'll take this scent of warm urine. It's the 98.6 degree urine that's warming up this whole place. And it is like you slowly go in there and you take a little extra time. And never have you wanted to stand at a trough so much. I don't know who invented that trough. I don't know who
you
said.
You have seen the infamous YouTube video, have you not?
No.
It is at a Chicago Cubs game, I believe. Yes, because it was Wrigley Field. And this is in the early years of YouTube.
Okay.
So a lot of the cell phone videos are grainy. It's not
sure.
as clear as, all the high def
yeah,
cameras
it's not a 4K.
That everybody has now. And so there is a video. It maybe is 30 seconds in length. And it's a young man who has probably been overserved.
Okay.
And he is standing on the trough.
Okay.
And he's being cheered on by the onlookers inside the men's room. And you just hear 3, 2, 1
No.
And he takes 5 running steps and does a home plate slide in the trough at Wrigley Stadium. And yes, he chose to do that to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking. Obviously, because it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, What if you're the guy or gal stuck next to this person, either at the game or the L train leaving the game or in the car on the way home?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. 142,000.
That's what it would take?
That's what it would take. If someone said, you have to slide. I would rather make $142,000 sliding in urine at the Metrodome than driving all the way out to Buffalo. Yeah, think of that. Which one? I mean, you willingly did the drive to Buffalo.
I don't think even if I wrote out a check, and I don't have this kind of money.
Yeah.
But if I wrote you a check for $142,000, you would not slide in the trough at Wrigley.
For $142,000? Okay.
I would.
Okay, so here's a little story. I like to, like, that Freakonomics. Remember that Freakonomics book? Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
So one of the things that they talked about is they went up to people and they said, hey, do you have a family pet?
Yes.
Right? And they said, I'll give you $1 million.
Yes.
For your family pet. And every single person said no. Like, no, thank you. I'm not going to take $1 million. Then they said, how much do you owe on your car? And it was like 38 grand. And they said, here's $38,000. I'll buy your family pet for $38,000. And the vast majority of people said yes, because it became a real amount to them, right? Like, there's $38,000.
That's interesting.
Isn't it weird? So they said no for $1 million, a bunch of people. But when it was a true number that paid something big off, like their car or their house, they accepted that number. And I think my acceptable number to slide through the trough at the Vikings game would be 142 grand. If they had a real 142 grand, I'd have a real hard time saying, well, I can for 142,000, I can take like 4 hours worth of showers.
What's interesting, too, is the fact that people can't compute a number that, well, you know, for $1 million, you'd be able to pay off your car and your house, most likely, and then have leftover money.
I think $1 million isn't real to people, right? It's just such an unreal number.
You're out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I love you, my dog, but I'm still going to let you go because someone's going to hand me $1 million. I find those scientific things like that, the brain teasers where weird things like that, I find those really interesting. There was another real kind of interesting one. They had a daycare that had a bunch of people like not picking their kids up on time. So like every day, like two or three families would be a little bit late, right? So out of the 50 kids, three families per day would be a little bit late to pick up their kids. Mm-hmm. So what they said, this is over with. What we're going to do is we're going to charge $10 for 10 minutes if they're late. The very next day, 41 people were late. Because they said, we can be late for 10 bucks?
I was going to have the exact opposite.
No, they thought no one would be late. But in turn, everyone said, I can just pay to be late? Watch, I'll just pay to be late now.
Now charge them $100.
And maybe that $10 charge is the right charge because you have 41 kids. That's $410. That's a pretty good 10 minutes,
that's
right?
Not bad.
You might as well go ahead and take it. But it was just the opposite. It was the unintended consequences of their plan, which it seems like the world does a lot of that. Those are cool stories.
Interesting.
We need to come up with Great Story by Mike Fredlund. Yeah, great story.
Like
Mike.
The
great
Jack
story.
Handy thing.
Yeah, great story.
So we got a couple of emails that I wanted to address, and they involve the same topic. And so I thought that'd be kind of cool.
Jumping into a urinal?
Both about the same subject, but one is from Tim, and the other is from Kellen, and they both say the same thing. Hey, Reavers, on the Scramble podcast a few weeks ago, you mentioned mixing screwball whiskey with something. What was it? It sounds delicious. Thank you. That one was from Kellen. And the one from Tim says the same thing. You were talking about screwball whiskey. Said something that your wife mixes it with something that she liked. Always working to find a drink for the boss lady and wondered if he could share. I did get back to them both independently, but I figured there's probably other people that wanted to hear it.
The world wants to know.
Screwball whiskey. It's peanut butter flavored. I know it sounds gross. It is fantastic. But what my wife mixes it with, she's a huge Aldi fan, and Aldi makes this cranberry fit water. I can't remember if it's probiotic or if it's just regular fit water, but she mixes it with that, and I've actually had it, and it tastes like a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Okay, so screwball whiskey. Who makes screwball whiskey?
I think it's just
screwball whiskey.
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, because was I on that show when you were talking to me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
It might have been Ben Quam that day.
Okay.
Okay, because maybe I missed the screwball whiskey story. So it's screwball whiskey that tastes like peanut butter?
You've never had it?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
I'm going to go to it and get it right now.
No, I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
Your gal would love it. Because, okay, you've known my wife for almost a decade.
100%.
And she's not a big drinker.
No.
And when she would, it was always, I'll have a seltzer.
Sure.
Or maybe I'll...
Chardonnay or something.
Or a vodka cranberry.
Okay.
That was always her drink. And she texted me one day because she knew I was going to Elevated because we were going up to her parents I think it was Thanksgiving. Anyway, she said, hey, can you pick up some screwball whiskey? And I'm thinking, oh, it must be a gift for somebody in her family. Whoever said, yeah, sure. Well, I stopped at Elevated, talked to our buddies, and brought it home. And she opened it up and poured it in a glass. I said, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
She said, well, I love this stuff. I went, wait, what? Huh?
Since when?
Yeah. And she said, oh, well, you know, and she explained it to me, but I never would have guessed in a million years my wife would have been. Now, granted, it's flavored whiskey.
Sure.
But she, as long as I've known her, she has never drank whiskey.
So when I'm doing this cartoon bubble, right?
Yep.
I'm seeing you standing there watching her crank open a bottle of whiskey, and then I see your cartoon bubble going, ba-ba-bow, like... Night's gonna get a little crazy.
You might think that, and obviously, me with my reptilian brain, that's what I'm thinking too. However, movie starts, I'm eating my dinner.
She's sleeping.
She is falling asleep,
and I then get
to just carry her upstairs and put her in bed and go sleep in the basement.
You know, it's lucky that both of our wives are tiny. So I was at, we went out to the Lexington, right? Lexington's great. There's a band called, it's not Feel the Burn, it's Bernie something. The guy's name is Bernie. His kids go to my kid's school, right?
Okay.
And Bernie looks like, he's not an unhandsome guy. He just looks like a 50-year-old guy. He's conservative looking. And they have this little three-piece band, and they were unbelievable.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it was so much fun. People are dancing. And this is the Lexington, right? This is not like a club.
It's not First Ave.
No, people are dancing, and he's doing like... obscure U2 songs, like not like Bullet the Blue Sky, like odder ones where you're like, oh, how does he? No, and it was, and he went to Juilliard as a kid, so he's a super talented guy,
sure.
Right? But you just didn't know it's a band at the Lexington, right? So I'm there, and the bartender or our waiter comes up and he says, you know, drinks, and he has this German accent. And I said, yeah, you know, we're gonna have a bunch of drinks. It's gonna be great. He goes, no, we're closing. It's no more drinks. And I said, oh. No more drinks. Okay, so, and one of the things that I did is my wife is a light drinker, and she said, I can't drink champagne. And we were drinking champagne because we were celebrating. And all of a sudden, we get home, and she turns to me, and she goes, my legs don't work. And I said, wait, what? So, she's tiny, so I'm whipping her up over the shoulder, and I'm carrying, I'm like, are you sure? This can't be comfortable for me to carry you this way. And how could your legs not work? Like, you can drink a half a bottle of white wine. They just stop working. She goes, I had champagne. My legs just don't work after champagne. And sure enough, she looked like, you know, those little animals that you used to buy at a toy store with, they press a little button on the bottom and like it has a string through it. And then the animal collapses because you push the button on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She looked like just the animal collapsing.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, your legs literally
they
are not working.
Work.
It was
they
so cute. Work. It was so fun. So I'm glad you had a story of having to carry your loved one up to the bed. And I did one of those, just flop her into bed and like, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Even my cartoon bubble was like, I'm just going to leave her alone.
And then I was also going to give another drink recommendation because I had one of these Saturday night because a lot of warm cocktails were being created.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Coffee-based or something.
Coffee.
Or fireball-based.
Cinnamon whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
With, oh, shoot, what was the cream?
Cream de coco, cream de mint.
It wasn't cream de mint, maybe it was.
What was the flavor?
But it was basically drinking a Starbucks coffee.
Oh, sounds
good.
It
was so good, and it was cinnamon whiskey based. I'm assuming it was Fireball, but it might have been something else. But man, warm cocktails are very underrated, especially when you're going to a football game that's below zero.
Yeah, when you're just holding it against your face to warm up in the rug.
Right,
like, I'm just going to use your heat to keep me alive.
Well, and honestly, you mentioned the bathrooms because they were being used for warmth in addition to being used.
That's literally the only
spot,
right?
And that's another reason, I'm not having anything to drink because you're going to stand in line for 45 minutes just waiting to use the restroom.
Or you just let it roll. You just let it roll.
No, you don't.
You
got it.
If you have snow pants on, you're like, I'm just going to warm up. Just like Dumb and Dumber. If you got to do it, you go do it.
If you go, man, just go.
Just go.
There was one other thing that I was going to bring up with you, and I'm failing to find it right now. Oh, darn it.
Have you heard from the guy? So the people who have been listening to the show for 10 years, Elevated Beer, Wine, and Spirits was a part of this team for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan and Tom. And
yep.
They're two successful business owners. They own a couple of locations in Minneapolis and one in White Bear Lake, Elevated Beer, Wine, and Spirits. I'm not doing a commercial for them. But have you heard from them much? Because, you know, first of all, those guys were our friends. They were on every single show. And, I mean, are they still... Is that industry still booming, do you know?
It is, and I don't think that they would mind me sharing this. Well, in fact, I know they won't because you were dealing with this as a retail business owner in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yeah.
One of their biggest issues right now is just staffing issues because, you know, just like everyone else, they're just, it's, what do you attribute that to? staffing issues. Because we're seeing it everywhere. It's not just at a hardware store. It's not just at a liquor store. It's across the board.
You know, Fratelloni's happens to be very lucky because we are in an industry that people aren't getting yelled at. It's not super dangerous. You know, in the world of retail, we do pretty well because you could look. It was funny. I was at a cable TV provider's retail site. I'm not going to say which one, but they sell and supply cable TV to households, but I won't say which one.
Sure.
And I was in there returning some of my cable stuff, and a guy was losing his mind, took his cable box, whipped it on the ground.
What?
And I turned to the girl who was helping me, and I said, how do you work here? How can you take people screaming at you? Because I'm going to tell you, I haven't had a customer scream at me in 15 years, right? I mean, it never happens.
Yeah.
People just don't come into Fratelloni's nuts, right? Right? They just don't do it. They're,
how can you be? You're at a hardware store.
Yeah, I mean, you're at a hardware store. It's like, you come in, you get your parts, you get going, you say hello to Bobby, the guy you've seen for 20 years. But people that are in other retail, it's just really tough. But what I don't get, and maybe what you were referring to, is where, like, Fratelloni's has job openings and other places have job openings, but where did all those people go that used to fill those job openings? Like, we didn't, like, the world of retail didn't add 15 million jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just had the same amount of jobs. Now we just have people not filling them. Where do those 15 million people go?
Does that make sense? I don't know.
My one philosophy is that if you were 68 years old, right? And you had that job because you're like, I want to get out of the house. I want to see some people. And if you just
almost volunteer based.
It was like, hey, I'm just having fun. I don't really care what I make. I like my discount. And as long as I work in a great environment, that's totally fine. All of a sudden, now I'm working in an environment that I feel a little danger because of COVID, mm-hmm. that a whole bunch of those people went to the sidelines.
That's a good
and
point.
And I do think that if the stock market takes a little bit of a dip, right? Not a big dip, but just take a... And, you know, the stock market's been booming, so all of their 401ks, the seniors' 401ks have been doing real good, right? They have some security. If there's a little bit of a dip, a whole bunch of them are going to say, I'm going to go make I'm going to go make $500 a month again to just supplement my 401k, right?
Yeah.
And that, which makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we had guys and still do have guys that were in their 80s working for us.
Well, I remember when I worked at an Ace Hardware in Faribault, Minnesota. I loved that job in high school. And it was basically me and three other high school kids and retired guys. It was a blast. I absolutely loved working there. It was so much fun.
It truly is a great job. And I think retail's, now we're lucky in Minnesota, so the winter season slows things down. So service will get a little bit better because we just won't need as, just business won't be as busy. But then we'll get ready for spring and things will go crazy again.
Nice.
I can't wait.
I love the days, though, when you get excited about a major snowstorm barreling down the Twin Cities.
Oh, that's so fun. It's so fun. You know, Sushere said it best. You know, you can hate snow. Or you can like snow. It's going to happen either way.
It's going to happen either way.
You might as well like
it,
right? And when we're in that business, it's white gold. I just love it.
Nice. Michael, thank you so much,
sir. Hey, Rivers, you are the best, and good luck on your move.
Thank you very much. Please do us a favor, rate and review the show wherever you are able to download this show, whether it be the PodMN app or other entities. We would truly appreciate it. It also helps other people find the Weekly Scramble. For Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Store, my name is Chris Rivers. We will talk to you again next week. And until then, cheers.